From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, the Struggles episode, as we are in between games for the Knicks. This is Wednesday, this is Knicks Talk. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. So I'm not even going to go into the plugs. Let's get right into the Knicks talk. I'm not even going to get into a couple of minutes just talking to Knicks. Let's just talk to the stakeholders. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks, Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram Avenue. Oh, man, we can go anywhere you want with this episode, with the struggles with our Knicks. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, my brother?
What's up?
It's been a couple of weeks. You know, yep. Everybody took some time off. We got some time to to recharge our batteries and still watch the Knicks go on and as they go on. And of course, now in the midst of an 8-game losing streak. 17 of the last 18 games they've lost. And this is to be expected. It's not to be the Knicks just. Are just throwing away games. But don't get it twisted. Even though most people are still looking at tanking, they're still looking at the situation as, well, there's a game here, there's a game there that they could have possibly had. Let's go run into it. Friday night against Milwaukee, I really think that was a game that the Knicks could have had they, just executed, simple little, minor things that anybody who's played any form of organized basketball would know, when you're playing, there's at least a number of different times where they would trap the ball, they trap the point guard, into the corner, and then not even a screen, but, the opposition just gets right open, and no one even puts a hand up. I mean, it's these simple little mistakes that, just on the floor. I mean, we can sit here and dissect Jeff Hornacek, dissect the rotations, dissect the freaking plays being called, but it's just minor things of execution that then shows a lack of effort on the Knicks' part, because you're starting to see bits and pieces in all these losses where they show a little effort and they make a little bit of a run, but it's just these basic basketball fundamentals that they're failing in executing, and that's why they're losing. And I mean, we've beaten this topic over and over and over again. I hate hearing it from other fans. The Knicks can't tank because they're not bad enough to be the worst. They're not good enough to be among the best. So they're caught in that freaking in that gray line where. It's just one of those unfortunate circumstances that the Knicks seem to find themselves. I'm constantly on Twitter and on the gram, people telling me it's like, well, they should do, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. I had a great conversation yesterday with a fellow stakeholder, Kareem Maloney. He says that we should start Frank Ntilikina, and I'm going fully against that. There's a reason why. It's a process of why you don't want to start Ntilikina now versus later. It's like, well, let him develop into something. It's like, I think that'll kill him. But let's get around the stakeholders, bro, because I think that, we have to dissect, bits and pieces of this thing and find the positives and the negatives, because we can be here all night with just the negatives.
All right, let's go to Marlo at DragoNYC on Twitter. Marlo, talking Knicks, you already know how we do. Knickerbocker Avenue, Free and Forum. Welcome back to the platform.
Steve, Knickerbocker Ave, how you guys doing?
Good, man, good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Guys, I just want to be a little honest with you guys. Mm-hmm. I must admit, the Knicks have been so miserable that the only time, basically for a good the last half year, and the reason why I haven't been on the show, I haven't been watching. I'm not going to lie. The last few times I really watched, of course, in the beginning, and also, because I want to know what right before the show, because, you guys have a great platform here, and, I want to make at least talk about like I'm watching, like I watched the last game of the Knicks. But the Knicks are horrible to watch, guys. I was more excited today with some of the moves the Giants made today. You know, I was paying attention to that more than anything else because there's really not much really to talk about with the Knicks. I mean, it was nice to see Kristaps yesterday. You know, he talked about what happened and this, that, and the other. But, you know, the boy's not going to be back till February. So everything else is like rumor or – or, you know, it's just, you know, you could be a fan and you could be a diehard fan, but, you know, it's just hard to keep watching because, you know, the hope is like out the door, unfortunately, you know. But what I do want to say, though, is, you know, speaking of the Bleed Blue show, is that Chris, I was very impressed with you and Chandler on the stakeholder spotlight. I mean, I started out listening to it and I turned off the TV. And during like the first 10 minutes, I actually turned the TV off to finish listening to that. And I think that's just something good that you guys are doing on this platform, you know, to talk about something positive besides the Knicks. I'm very impressed with the stakeholder spotlights that you guys are doing. And I found that very deep and entertaining. And shout out, enough respect to Chandler for some of the stuff that he shared with on that podcast. And any of the stakeholders listening, it would be worth it to give it a good listen because it was extremely impressive listening to Chandler. So, you know, that was just something that's really good. Because like I keep saying, for me, the positives I take out of the Knicks these past few seasons is this platform. You know, this platform is just really something that's good, and it's therapy. It's something that, you know, you don't rest on your laurels. You try to do different things with it, and stakeholder spotlight is just something very impressive. So, you know, I was very impressed with that. So, again, you know, I'm not sure how long you want to keep me on today or if I should keep it brief because, again, I haven't really been paying too much attention to the Knicks because I can't. You know, it's very upsetting. And, you know, and I think of things like, let's look at our future, guys. Can you say that Perry and Mills will be able to build a team? Do you think they'll be able to do that? Do you think all these other teams will take them seriously? You know, every time I try to look for positives, it's like, what do you see? And guys, you know this. Like I do, because we've been following the NBA for years. NBA players, they're like a fraternity. Don't you think they talk to each other and see what's going on? You think anyone's running to the Knicks? You know? You guys as fans, because I asked myself this question this the other day, and I'm not sure that's a question you can ask all the stakeholders or not, Steve. But I said, even me as being in the fan, I don't think I could convince somebody else to watch the Knicks. I don't think I could do it. You know, what is it that I have to sell this team besides the fact that I liked them since the 80s? You know what I mean? So imagine if you're a player and free agency coming around. I mean, are you going to consider this team? I mean, even the small steps that the Lakers did, the Lakers were almost as bad, if not worse than the Knicks, when Jim Buss was one of the buses was running it. But look what they have. They got at least Lonzo. They got a good young core that's going on over there. That's more interesting than the Knicks. I just don't know, again, what the direction we're going in. And it's the same story that's being rehashed, guys. And it's just pretty unfortunate. But, again, shout out to, you know, Steve and Godfather for making this platform because – I'm telling you, this is one of the best things that's going for the Knicks right now, as far as I'm concerned, is the Bleed Blue show.
Yeah, we really appreciate the kind words across the board. I'm not going to take credit. I'm going to give credit to those who shared their stories. I give credit to the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, not only talking Knicks, but just talking sports with us on all the platforms whenever he's available. He's helped make this platform what it is, too. I'd like to thank also the great fans. To me, my perspective is every sports fan has their own story, and let it be put out there on audio or put it out there on video. Share your story, because at the end of the day, we all have a perspective, a view on life, and we all root for the same teams, but we all have a thing or a venture or something that we got going on that is passionate to one of us. And that's kind of what the stakeholder spotlight has been about. It's about spotlighting the fan, the sports fan in particular, and sharing what they got going on. And it's great to hear different stories because everybody's flavor has been different, which is what it's about. It's all about being different and having that great mind. And Chandler's was one of the great ones. His Gear Drift podcast has been awesome. Listening to those episodes, I've got to learn things from him. I know Av probably knows a lot more in that area than I do, and I'm pretty sure he has listened to those as well. But not only just his and Chandler, shout out to Chandler when on his great platform, but like all the other guys who shared their sports ventures and think traveling they got going on, and that's the beauty of the sports, is brings fans together, man. And I really appreciate the kind words. Now let me get back to the Knicks before we get into future further dialogue with the Knicks. You raised great points. I don't know, maybe Avenue and maybe myself and maybe you to a degree, because this is not our first rodeo down this podcast when it comes to bad play from the Knicks. I'm one of those fans, I guess I could talk it out and it's not going to make me feel as bad when it comes to talking with the Knicks. We all know it's a bad product. Even before KP got hurt, the Knicks were in the funk. So to say that he got hurt at the wrong time is just not true, as far as he wasn't going to be the savior of the season. This season was already going down the drain when he was in the line. But here's the answer to your question. I think this is where we're in a quagmire. I think and it's been echoed many a times on this episode or these episodes. It really starts and stops at Steve Mills, but it's kind of like wishful thinking, hoping maybe Scott Perry has more say than we think he does. And what I like about some of the moves he's done a little bit, as far as moving McDermott and Moutier and giving him a chance, they're trying to go more athletic. And I think the way I see, if you're going to get players to New York, there's pretty much two ways, either the draft or you got to find somebody who's hungry, who's probably failed in the league, who's been trying to get back into the league. That's why Trey Burke is kind of one of those type of guys that probably will fit playing here in New York, where he didn't pan out in Utah, he didn't pan out in Washington. Westchester gave him a chance, and he maximized his opportunity. Now he's got a somewhat of a rotation spot with his current Knicks, although arguably he should have more. A guy like Troy Williams, same guy who was buried on the bench for the Houston Rockets, not because he's not a good player, not because he's not good enough. It's just that he doesn't fit what that team is trying to do. Their team is more about one-on-one dribbling with Harden and Chris Paul and having a bunch of three-point shooters. That's not really Troy Williams' game. Troy Williams, who's been on a consecutive 10-day contract, it kind of fits what the Knicks are trying to do, and that's get younger and more athletic. And I think I like his game from what I've seen thus far, is fitting in with this mix. The issue more so is coaching and more so the upper management, but the players, if the Knicks have to gut this thing out, get as young as possible, athletic as possible, and build a young, hungry core. They got to build a young, hungry core. And that might have a chance to get to, like, you know, a playoff position and get some draft picks. And that's the kind of angle I'm looking at. You're not going to get these high prize fraternity free agents, like you said, Marlo. You're totally right about that. I totally agree with that. You haven't seen it with the Knicks. In ages, like in almost 10 years, 8-10 years. And you got to look at it from the perspective as Brandon is that goes into play in other parts of the country, because you don't have to play in New York. You can play anywhere and get your money off the court. But I'll make a long story short, as far as the Knicks, I'm just looking at it from building the youth core. You see, to me, I think they're doing the right thing in sitting the older guys. Courtney Lee's minutes has been reduced. I'm in favor with that. The losses are painful, but I don't know. I'm kind of immune to it. You know, it doesn't really bother me as much as it should, because knowing I could talk it out and actually dialogue with fellow Knicks fans the struggles that we do have. And we, and like Avenue said, it's kind of expected. It's one thing, we were supposed to be a very good team on paper, and we actually did not pan out. That would probably piss me off more than what we're seeing right now. So before we go back to Av, I think this is Chandler. Let's talk to him, get his thoughts. Chandler, if this is you, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing? Sorry I'm late. I fell asleep.
No, you're good. No, you're good, man. Talking to Knicks, Avenue and Marlo, what's your thoughts as far as what you've been seeing in this losing streak with the individual players? Anything on your mind? And then we'll go back to Av.
It's funny you were talking about the player development thing pretty much. And that's really, I mean, at a certain point, I think that's what we were all really focusing on once we saw the season go off the rails, was are these young players, are we going to get to see these young players to see if they get an opportunity to develop, to see what warts they have, see what mistakes they can make, and if they can learn from the mistakes. And that's been, I guess, what's been most disappointing is, like, with the Moutier thing, you know, my thing was, okay, we have enough projects, so you added another project when you have uncompleted projects. And then you look at the Westchester Knicks had a really good record this year. You got five guys off that team that are all playing in the NBA now, that all got contracts and got their contracts picked up, 10-day contracts, got them picked up, all of them. Isaiah Hicks, this guy Xavier Rathen-Mays, Luke Kornet, Nigel Hayes, and Trey Burke. Now, the three guys with the Knicks, they don't get to play. And I don't want to get into a whole let me just beat up on Hornacek thing, but again, if we're going to let these kids develop, then we need to let them play. And that's the most disappointing thing for me is, you know, Trey Burke is not getting near enough time to play. And listen, we know the kid has worse, but the kid can score. That's made real obvious. Kornet looks like he might have some game, but there are games where he literally is chained to the bench. And that's, for me, where I'm at right now is, okay, no, I'm not rooting for the team to lose, but if we're going to let the young kids play, then let them play. Let them make mistakes. Let's see if they can learn from the mistakes, because that's the biggest thing, is learning from your mistakes and doing better. Now, the results might not end up in wins now, but it could end up in wins later. But that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, I want to see young players, and not just for the sake of seeing young players, but to see if we have any people that are worth keeping. You know, you talked about Troy Williams, and I like the addition, but it just seems that the brain trust behind it on this level versus the Westchester level doesn't seem to know how to really implement, hey, let's play these guys, let's put them in tough spots, let's see how they respond to the tough spots. And it doesn't help that we don't have a lot of great vets that are great at mentoring. I think the most professional vet we have is Jared Jack. Outside of him, I don't see a lot of guys on this team that can really help mentor and teach young players. You got Courtney Lee talking about guys aren't trying, this, that, and the other, but I don't want to listen. If you take to the media and say people aren't trying, then you need to call them out, period, end of story. If you're not willing to call somebody out, then don't start the conversation and say what somebody's not doing. But I'm not going to – I don't want to point any fingers. No, no, no. The train's already left the station. If you're gonna start that sentence, you got to finish it. And that's, I guess, where I'm still at with the Knicks is everything is an incomplete. You know, everything is just an incomplete. And that's, I guess, the most frustrating part. But it is if I want to be positive, I can say there's a lot of young players on this team with talent. How much talent, I don't think we know yet because I don't think they get an opportunity to show it. But at least we have some talent on this team. As far as young players, it's been a long time since we've been able to say that.
All right, Avenue, anything you'd like to add to Marlo's points, my points, and Chandler's?
Well, it's exactly Chandler is absolutely right. We do have a lot of young pieces. We do have some talent. They're not getting the necessary appropriate time to learn, and they don't have that. And they don't have that key mentor to teach them along the way, unfortunately. In my opinion, the biggest problem that I face, you know, as a Knicks fan, is that what's going to happen at season's end when season's already over, guys clear out their lockers, they leave the MSG facility and the garden, for the summer, and then the draft and free agency starts. Because a lot of fans are saying, just like Chandler said, let's see what we have. The reality is that the Knicks don't have a very good track record of keeping guys. Young guys, old guys, it doesn't really matter. They don't have a very good track record of developing young talent and being able to maintain them under a reasonable contract just because, X, Y, and Z. Unfortunately, that is the status quo with the Knicks. And, I try to, be optimistic, but I can't ignore the fact, and Steve, you just mentioned it, Steve Mills is there, and Steve Mills has a very particular way of handling personnel and how he handles these roster changes, and how he bases them basically on his relationships with the collective or, the agent. It's going to be interesting to see which guys are actually going to be here next year. At this point, there really is no point to have Jarrett Jack or Courtney Lee or even Enes Kanter, to a certain degree on the floor. You basically should just be playing, your young guys out and let them make the mistakes. But it looks like, from my vantage point, that Hornacek is coaching these games first for a victory, and then he plays the young guys. And really, he should be coaching these young guys to win, and to at least get that to get that mentality, to get that fire running. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, this is the same guy who still hasn't been able to manage how to coach his team out of halftime.
Marlo, you want to follow up on that, and then I'll go. And if you guys have any questions for each other, feel free. Go ahead, Marlo.
Well, see, that's part of my problem again, because, what are we looking at here with this team? Okay, I thought the Moutier team was pretty good, but Chandler makes a good point, too, about, how many projects are you going to have? Because I'm sorry, the Knicks program, if you want to call it that, of developing the youth. I know they said that before the season started, but their whole thing with developing youth hasn't been good, or forming a team. The Knicks, as far as I'm concerned, haven't been able to create the team. And like what I've said and Knickerbocker Ave said and everyone else is saying and Chandler's saying and other people, the elephant in the room still is Steve Mills. Steve Mills is like a very big problem for me in the decision-making process, because I don't see him as a deal maker. The Knicks don't have a reputation of making good decisions. So, this is what kills me, because they talk about the contract space that they're going to have, the cap room, which is good, but you're handing it over to these two guys. Perry, yes, he hasn't proven anything just as yet, but, we'll see. And if anything that I could give Phil a little credit is he emptied out some cap space. But, again, the Knicks flounder too much for me. Like, you still haven't made a decision on Joakim Noah? You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. Take your loss and just buy that man out. They let stuff linger on for too long, and they don't settle the issues that they have. He hasn't been playing. You're still paying him to sit home. If you're going to do that, then you might as well. You're not getting anything from him because, again, if you were playing him, I don't know, maybe some guy, some team would say, hey, he'd be a good backup center. There's a lot of people who could use a functional backup center. Joakim Noah probably will only last like 6 games before he breaks down. But again, it's very mind-boggling that they can't be definitive on anything, on what they're doing. Okay, you want to focus on youth? Then let's go back to last season you know, they came out the big press conference. We're going to concentrate on youth. We're going to do this. You know, we got Frank in the draft. We got KP who's going to be our main guy. What do? They kept Melo until it was too late after his stock dropped thanks to Phil. Now, again, you're saying the same thing. You bring on these expiring contracts, which is great, but now you still have someone like Joakim Noah still around. So it's you can't expect us to trust the leadership because the leadership hasn't shown us anything. I mean, it's nice seeing the young guys out there, but do these young guys really fit? You know, it does seem like that the Knicks, which is smart what they're doing, they're just throwing stuff out there right now. And Knickerbocker Ave, my thing is this, you know, the whole Jeff Hornacek thing. Who could you really bring in? I wouldn't bring anybody in right now. I'd just let him just finish out the season because this season is done. I mean, I know no one likes talking about tanking, but this season is done. Let whoever comes in, if you want, start them off next season. If it's Mark Jackson, if it's whatever. But be honest with you guys, would Mark Jackson want to be part of this? You know, would he really want to develop? I mean, I know he has that New York route and all this other stuff. He might do it, but they won't let Mark Jackson do what Mark Jackson needs to do. Sometimes, you know, he's the one who – you think about when he was in Golden State. He put the kibosh to the trade for Klay Thompson and Kevin Love, and he selected Draymond Green. He had some power in there before they took it all away and brought in Steve Kerr. So, but Mark Jackson has shown to make some good decisions. He knows to make the pieces that fit. He's going to be stifled in New York because at the end of the day, Dolan still wants to be the guy. He wants to be the star of the Knicks. And Perry, I don't care. I say this many a times. Perry, for some reason, he knows where the bodies are hidden because that man, for some reason, is going nowhere. So unless they give Mills complete totality of the decision-making process, guys, I don't have that comfort or the optimism.
Way around, right?
Huh?
You mean the other way around. Mills is in charge. You want Perry to have totality.
Well, at least to make decisions because I don't think
right.
The decisions are up to him solely. You know what I mean, Knickerbocker Ave? I think Mills is part of the decision-making process of what's going on, and you know who he talks to.
Right. He talks to Isaiah Thomas still.
What?
Yeah.
I was talking about Dolan.
He still talks to Isaiah Thomas too.
Hey. See, guys, you know, I can't with this. This doesn't make any sense to me, guys. I'm sorry. You know, tell me something where I can see that I can look forward to. One of you guys, Steve, Knickerbocker Ave, Chandler. I challenge the three of you to tell me something I need to look forward to for the Knicks that you have faith in that's going to happen. Do you see it?
That's a good question.
Can someone tell me something?
No. No,
I don't want to mislead. I guess it really comes down to me is you're tolerant of watching a bad product and try to see the great or the optimistic, the optimism in each individual athlete that takes the floor if he gets on the floor. Like, for instance, when Moutier starts and Frank plays off guard, what good can you get out of it, the bad? You see some of the Dotson getting in some of these minutes. Trey Burke, whenever he has a chance to get in the game, I like the positivity, what I see out of Troy Williams, but he has to work on his jumper. Like, all these guys have a lot of flaws. But I think something that we've been kind of echoing as far as getting younger and more athletic, I think I could see this with this core if they decide to go this route. But it's going to take time. But we've been saying it's going to take time for, what, almost 20 years. So it's almost redundant. So I don't want to – it's one of those things like you only can sit back and watch. And being a fan, it is rough. I'm not going to sit here and just be like, hey, man, it's going to get better. When deep down, it's just – you just got to watch the development of these individual players and just hopefully it clicks, and hopefully it clicks with the right head coach. And it's not going to be this guy. it's not going to be Hornacek, because you know we all know he's pretty much gone. He's not even the hire of the general manager. Ed Chandler, you want to answer his question? Then we can go back to myself and then go back to you, Chandler.
Well, I can positively guarantee you that three players off this team 2 years from now are gonna be playing really good basketball in the NBA. Unfortunately, it's not going to be for the Knicks. That I can guarantee you. So if you want to just follow some guys and I guess invest in them, there are some guys that's going to come off this team that are going to be really good players. That's the most positive thing I get, because we don't know who the coach and everything else is going to be, but I see young players that are going to be good players in this league, so you can bank on that, and let's just hope that they keep them.
All right, Marlo, you heard our answers. You good?
Hold on, let me get in on that one real quick, Steve.
The
one thing you can look forward to is that you have to pretty much have to look forward to the offseason and see what kind of differences, you know, that Seth Perry can make. Because remember, he came into the situation, you know, post-draft, so he had to live with Phil Jackson's picks. And then he had to live with Steve Mills' signings of Hardaway and Baker. And so it'll be really interesting to see what Perry actually does going forward. Because if he does replace Hornacek, if he does get rid of the whole coaching staff and get somebody that New York fans can actually get behind him, and then, of course, the biggest thing is that, what does he do with those draft picks that we do have? Does he go for the best player, or does he go for something that, that fits the system? It all varies, because we really can't judge Perry yet. As far as we know, the only move that we know he actually made was the Carmelo Anthony trade. After that, I'm not even going to, give the Moutier trade to him yet, because – to me, that smells more like a Steve Mills move more than anything. So this season is, as we already know, is a complete wash. The one thing that the Knicks fans can continue to look forward to is that keep watching, see the improvement and the development of some of these young guys that we have. Maybe we'll win a couple of games here and there. It'll be similar to what it was last 17-win season, and just basically sit back and watch and see how what moves can be made. Are there positives? Yes, there are possible positives, but it all depends on what Scott Perry actually if he puts his flavor on this team. If he lets Mills basically dictate how everything is run, then yes, this is going to be another dark era in the New York Knicks history. But if Perry can actually make the changes and start to draft correctly, look into suitable free agents that are still that's still serviceable, and develop somewhat of a core, because this team doesn't have a core. It doesn't. The only guy that we know that is going to be in the Knicks' future for the next 2 or 3 years at this moment is Kristaps Porzingis. After that, everybody's still pretty much expendable, and will probably be looking for a job come July 1st. So it's a matter of what kind of flavor Scott Perry can actually influence on this team. That's what you have to look forward to. Still watch the games, see if there are any players that you like, but don't get too attached to them, because any one of them can be moved tomorrow.
I'll add to that. Not only just watch the game and the players that you do like, hopefully they do get in the game. Like, I think to Chandler's points and to a lot of Knicks fan points, what doesn't make sense is the rotation of Trey Burke in the lineup. Like, sometimes he doesn't even get into the game to the third quarter, which makes no sense. Correct me if I'm wrong, we only have, one win since the All-Star break? And that was the Orlando game, and that was right after the All-Star break, and that was the game he came off the bench and scored, 26? And
That is correct.
It doesn't make sense to have all those points sitting on the bench when your season is over. You need to see what kind of productions you can get with some of these younger guys. And then even in the Dallas game, he's coming in later in the game. I like to see more Dotson. I thought Dotson's jumper finally was working in the game versus the Mavericks. He struggled with that. I would like to see him shoot more, whether it goes in or not, or it doesn't go in or not. Or same thing with Frank Ntilikina. These guys, Troy Williams, let them just play, man. Like Chandler said, just let them play, man. I mean, there's certain guys that should just not be playing at all, or minutes should be severely reduced. Lance Thomas, to a degree, should be reduced. Courtney Lee has already, and that's actually a good move. But a lot of it, just watching some of these guys get in the game, is just why. It just doesn't make sense. I'm fine with O'Quinn's current rotation. It is what it is with him. But a lot of this things we've seen, I don't know if it's coming from the management. I don't know if it's the head coach. I would assume the head coach. When it comes to lack of playing time with certain players who are younger, we need to see them on the court. Win, lose, or draw. Guys go out and play. And then one more thing before I go back to Chandler. And this is the weirdest thing I have seen. I think we've addressed this like a couple of times on this platform. I still don't understand the lack of urgency or the third quarter. It doesn't matter if it's the Lakers. It doesn't matter if it's Cleveland, Toronto. The Knicks coming out in the third quarter is one of the most unbelievable things I have ever seen in watching the NBA. And I've been watching the NBA for the better half of 3 decades. I know some of you guys longer than me. But I never seen a team in my life like the New York Knicks of 2017-18 consistently in a game in the first half look like one of the top teams in the East in the first half. Once that third quarter starts, it's over. The Knicks are going to lose. I can't explain it. We already know it's about lack of adjustments, but I don't understand why not adjust more to stay in the games. It's beyond crazy with the Knicks in the third quarter. I want to go back to Chandler, and we'll bring on the next stakeholder. I think we can get to him after that. Chandler, do you notice the thing with the third quarter? I think that's the elephant in the room when it comes to on the court. What about your thoughts on Moutier and Ntilikina playing the off guard, and all the other guys that's getting time, Dotson, Burke, Williams, anybody else you would like to add, and then points that Marlo and Ab made, and then we'll get to the next stakeholder on the line.
You know, that third quarter thing has been bothering me all season. And, you know, in years past, when we've had bad teams, the teams have just been bad. You know, we went into a lot of games like, okay, we just not even going to win this game, and we weren't even competitive. To be competitive for a half in every single game, save, I think, maybe 3 games this year, we've been in at the half just about every game. And then literally, you can count it down as the third quarter starts, that by about the fourth or the fifth minute of the third quarter, it's over. I have no idea why. I don't want to hear about this in the players' heads and none of that, because I don't think it is. I don't know what it is, and I have to put it on coaching, because it happens with the veterans in, it happens with the young players in, it happens with a combination of the players in. So I have to come back to coaching, and, like, I don't know what it is. Either we just run the same exact play and they finally figure it out or something. It is mind-boggling to me that it keeps happening, and I can't figure it out. You know, the Moutier thing, I wasn't a huge proponent of getting him. The kid has talent. I just don't think – I don't think he's a fit on this team with the amount of projects we already have, for me. I really don't like Frank playing off the ball. Frank's a really good defender. I think given time, he'll develop into – and, again, I'm old, so I'm not – looking for a point guard that's dropping 30 every night. I think Frank can turn into a really good point guard in this league, and I think at some point he'll start scoring. I think it's just going to take time. Again, I like what the kid Williams does. I like what the kid Cornette does. Sneakily, he's a better than average defender when you watch him play. Yeah, he still gets – obviously he's getting beat on stuff because he's young, but he has a lot more talent than I think people gave him credit for, because the one thing he can do is he can he has a good ability to block shots, and that's something you really can't teach. You either are a shot blocker or you're not. And this kid can be a decent shot blocker, which means he can be a good rim protector, along with the fact that he can stretch the floor because we know he can shoot. But I don't think anybody anticipated the fact that he could play defense as a big man. So I'd like to see him play more, you know, with Damian Dotson. I think it just Dotson just needs confidence to shoot. Like I said, I think we have some decent pieces given time to develop and in the right culture with the right players around and with the right vets. And on a Noah front, you know what, I don't want them to buy Noah out because I think Joakim Noah can still be valuable to this franchise if he's given an opportunity. And you're right. Either bring him back and let him play or do something because maybe you can move him next year. I don't really understand the whole just sit at home because we're not going to pay you. We're not going to fine you. We're not going to suspend you, but we don't want you around the team. Doesn't make sense to me. I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think management may be protecting Hornacek in this because usually if you send a player away, you try to get your money back from him sitting at home and getting a paycheck, and that hasn't been done. But I like Frank. I think if you look at Frank, he's getting better. He's a really good defender, which, again, hey, it's good to have one guy who can defend on the perimeter. And I would really like to see Cornette get some time because I think quietly we might have found a diamond in the rough.
All right, let's get to Dre and then go back to Ava. Dre, welcome back. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Talking Knicks, talking everything. You heard all the points. What's on your mind?
Well, everything what everybody just said, we're just on the money. The season's already coming down to a close. For ways, the only thing, unless you want to go ahead and see the youngsters. And like I said, Knicks had to say, like, we got a nice little gem in Troy Williams, and they signed to him a 2-year deal. I'm actually happy about that. Nice energy player. And definitely what actually surprised me a little bit when I saw him a couple times when he actually had a good above average neck of just finishing over the rim when we brought him over. At first I was thinking, okay, he's going to be like a little bit more athletic version of Lance Thomas. But he even shocked me in some cases. But as far as with everybody, especially going to the further, and it's all going to be what Sky Perry is going to do. This draft pick is going to be key to telling whether what the Knicks are capable of doing for the next couple of years or so. But far as on the players and their positioning in terms of next year, everybody outside of KP, and I'm going to have to say Kanter too, only because he have a player option, so really he can accept it. Whether he or not is going to stay or not. But, and plus, I don't see no one actually taking him on a trade. Emmanuel Mudiay, he's a good player, but for me, I'm just not right here in New York at this time. The Knicks, like, how you're going to have the Knicks, Frank, and then Emmanuel Mudiay, and then I'm looking all over in the NBA mock draft. They talk, all our persons see the Knicks' suggestion of drafting was from the dude from Alabama, the point guard, Colin Sexton. Don't get me wrong, he's nice, but why bring him that over here when we already have a point guard? But it's like, I don't know. As far as which one I think we should use the pick, Michael Bridges at our weakest position at small forward does make sense, but also I do like that little idea of having Wendell Carter, a nice 6'10", I think, believe 6'11", big man, be able to help body up along with KP down the block. I mean, but that's just all for my opinion. And, yeah, keep it going.
Avenue, anything else you'd like to add on our Knickerbockers and on this dialogue? And if you have any questions for the stakeholders in any way, please do so. Any information you want to share from the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Nation, please as well, please feel free as well. I know you guys are doing it. Any other points?
Really don't have very many other points at the moment, unfortunately, because the Knicks, you know, the stakeholders have pretty much covered all the bases here, and that's usually what you find when you talk to real fans.
I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Same question that we've been asking all night, Chandler and I. Why is Burke not getting in the game earlier? And as far as his rotation has been chopped. Like, I don't understand that. What's the logic behind that?
Well, the logic is that he went out on tear for like what was it, like 3 or 4 games. He was averaging 27, 29, and then he had that one bad game where he just wasn't getting that shot, and then his minutes got reduced ever since then. And it looks like Hornacek had just pretty much lost faith in him and wanted to put more minutes allocated to Moutier. He just has more faith in Moutier and more faith in developing Frank. It doesn't look like that Hornacek has very much faith in Burke at all. And you can see that in the body language. You can see that in just how engaged both of them are, you know, during timeouts, and how engaged Hornacek is, you know, when Burke does have the ball, because Burke is pretty much he can create his own shot. And it doesn't seem like he really needs very much tutorial, or very much coaching. But when you have a young point guard and you're still trying to develop some kind of a system, even though Jeff Hornacek probably knows that, you know, his time in New York is running out. While you're still here, you still have these young players that you need to develop. And I wonder if if just Hornacek just does not have it in for Trey Burke to be on his team. He probably wasn't somebody that he wanted on his team. He probably wanted to bring up Courtney a lot sooner. Probably wanted to bring up somebody else. I just don't think that Hornacek has any faith in Trey Burke, and that's why the minutes are cutting back. But you can't deny the guy's talent. He creates his own shot. He's fast. He has great court vision. He does create for not only for himself but for his teammates. He can be erratic at times, but more than between him and Tim Hardaway Jr., who really needs to learn to stop settling so much for jumpers, are the only two guys that know how to attack the rim, and that's not what Hornacek wants.
And Marlo, you want to go any additional points? If you want to, anything you'd like to ask the stakeholders on the Knicks? I think we covered most bases. I know Av just brought up Hardaway Jr. because I think that's another topic we could address. We also, you know, with the rest of the league, any thoughts you have on the rest of this NBA, the rest of the league? Then we go right down the line.
The rest of the NBA is getting interesting now because yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't have too much more to say about the Knicks. Let me preface my comments by saying that because, again, there's really nothing there. But, you know, the NBA, like I said, is getting interesting right now because it seems like now the evolution of the NBA is getting different and it's reverting back to bigs. And because I'm looking at the Karl Anthony Towns and the you know, just a lot of the players right now, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. It's just really, really impressive what's going on in the league right now. And you can see that the evolution of the game is changing. Now, the NBA for me was getting a little bit, because I was getting tired of the Cleveland and Warriors. You know, I don't want to see Cleveland and Warriors again. And I'm more down on Cleveland than the Warriors because I'm tired of seeing LeBron, you know, making it to the finals. Again, it's nothing personal against him, and I know all these stations kiss his butt to no end. But, I mean, he has a stranglehold on the East. You know, that gets boring for me. I need to see something different. So I'm hoping that this year it might be something different, but guys, you could tell these guys that are coming out here now and the different moves that are being made and this, that, and the other, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I wish I could put my Knicks in the mix of this stuff. But again, I don't know what to expect when it comes to our team. But the NBA as a whole, I think it's amazing how it went from the bigs, because in the 80s it was all about the bigs, you know, about the Kareems and the Robert Parrish and the Kevin McHales, and you had Bird and Magic. They were both 6'9". You know, they played two different positions. And, you know, you always had to have, like, that good center you know, going back from Wilt Chamberlain and all those other guys from before. And then it went to the guards. It went so much to the guards that they, even on the All-Star game, they just call them front court players now. They don't even have centers now. So right now what we're witnessing in the NBA is that transition. And I think it's a good thing because these young guys are very skilled. And, you know, you can throw Kristaps in the mix, even though he can't really stay healthy. But I think the NBA is like is on a good track. So even when you're not so much so interested with the Knicks, I'm actually interested in this, in the league and where it's going. And there's been some pretty good games that's going on here. I mean, and hopefully the end results will be a little different because that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that someone else comes out of the East. I don't think anything's going to happen when it comes to Golden State. I think they're just still going to come out themselves. But I think the times of the back-to-backs and the dynasties and stuff, that might be on hold for a little while, and we might see something new. And that's what you always look at. You know, you always need that, the next thing, the next big thing, the next new thing. And I think that's happening for the league, and I think it's good if you're just a basketball fan. Not only a Knicks fan, but just a basketball fan.
All right, Chandler, what about you? Anything you'd like to say? Points to the guys at questions and anything from the rest of the NBA if you want to add to it?
As far as the outside of the Knicks goes, I'm really liking Toronto. I like what Dwayne – I don't think Dwayne Casey has ever gotten enough credit for being a good head coach. And he's improved every year. I think that team – I think the Raptors are coming out of the East, first of all. I don't think Cleveland's coming out of the East. I think the Raptors are coming out of the East. I think they finally learned how to play with the pressure that comes along with being a playoff team in Canada. And for those that don't follow hockey, when the Raptors make the playoffs, they get 10 to 20,000 people outside of the arena while the game is being played. They become a singular focus, and I think in years past that's kind of weighed on the team, which is – if you look at their playoff history, they've lost games at home and won games on the road. I think they're ready to turn the corner on that. So Mar, I don't think you have to worry about Cleveland getting to the finals. I don't think Cleveland's coming out of the East, personally. I think Toronto's coming out of the East, and I like that. But right now, with the Knicks thing for me right now, and maybe it's just because I like to root for the underdog, I want to see Burke and those guys get some run. I want to see them stay here. I'm hoping that they don't draft another guard with the pick. And I'm not even going to get into the whole draft pick thing right now, but I like a lot of the team, what's going on with the NBA right now. I mean, listen, the San Antonio Spurs might not make the playoffs. And arguably you could say this has been one of Popovich's best coaching years because he really has had LaMarcus Aldridge and four nobodies all year, and he's got their team in playoff contention when a lot of coaches – that team would probably be looking at looking at the lottery, and they still have a shot to win the playoff, to make the playoffs. I like the fact that Minnesota has progressed. The Jazz of all teams could make the playoffs, so it's really interesting. And honestly, I don't think that there's a guarantee Golden State comes out of the West because there are some teams that can knock them off in a short series. So I think the playoffs will be fun. And like I said, for me, I just don't think Toronto's coming out of the East, man. I really don't. And you know, it's not that I'm hating or anything like that, but I'm one of the people that's kind of sick of the LeBron-a-thon on every sports station. But I think Toronto has turned the corner, and I like the fact that they are not relying on DeRozan and Lowry for points. They have an actual team now. So that's really what I'm looking at going forward the rest of the season.
Before we go back to Adam, let's go to Dre real quick. Same question, anything with the rest of the NBA or Art or the Knicks, and then we go back to Adam.
Like everybody said, I'm actually really intrigued, especially how the West, deeper seas are playing now. The third through the sixth seed can change at right there any moment. So it's like, so Minnesota can easily go to the third spot. And then just even making the playoffs in general, San Antonio, Denver Nuggets can easily switch out spots with Clippers and Utah. Like, I ain't gonna lie, that's like, it's just, what can I ask for? Got some nice little dogfight games you'll be able to watch. See them just for the playoffs, so you got some good games, at least from them teams. coming down the stretch of the season, as far with everybody else in the East, these two teams I definitely got to get credit for after a long time it took them to start actually winning. The 76ers and the Pelicans. Anthony Davis balled his butt off. And just seeing how the actually Pelicans went actually behind as a team to help propel him, well, mostly him and team, actually make the playoffs. Not even just make the playoffs, but actually be in the top five. So, and them getting matched up. So, let's say with someone like OKC, they actually have a chance to get out the second round. Same thing for the 76ers. If they're not getting matched up with Cleveland. So, for me, with playoff times, I actually see some pretty good games coming along. And I actually mean that honestly in a very, very good amount of a long time. It was the young players with KP. Just hope we come back. Youngsters from the Knicks, only thing I can think is they just signed back Trey Burke and Kyle O'Quinn. I love their energy, their style of play, and just great bench pieces that I just hate to see somewhere else in New Jersey. But anyway, back to y'all.
All right. Ab, anything else you'd like to add? Rest of the league or our squad in particular didn't go around for final thoughts?
The rest of the league, man, this is probably the most fun time right now because although, you know, the league and most analysts would like the foregone conclusion of a Cleveland Golden State rematch in the NBA Finals, the way the playoff positioning thus far, I mean, you're talking about the Eastern Conference, and the Eastern Conference from 3 to 8 is separated by maybe 3 or 4 games. And then in the West, it's pretty much from 3 to 8 in the same thing. They're separated by 3 games. So just seeing how, you know, certain teams are dropping, because in the Western Conference, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. Houston, Golden State, you know, they're going to take the top 2 seeds, and then pretty much it's going to be everyone else. I really do like Portland. They're kind of like, you know, that dark horse team for me every single year because they're a team that, you know, that gets constantly counted out because of free agency and because of, you know, specific injuries. But Lillard knows how to fucking lead that team. You got to love them. It was a great win by Minnesota over the weekend, over Golden State at home. It was much needed. I have to echo Dre, you know, about Davis and New Orleans. They're looking pretty, you know, they're looking pretty solid. It'll be really interesting to see if this is the biggest part, is that, of course, we all would like to see, you know, the LeBron-a-thon end or take a hit this year. But it'll be interesting to see if LeBron and the Cavs can turn it on as they have done so in the past, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years, LeBron teams turn it on in the playoffs. You know, given the state of the team right now, given, you know, the recent road woes, given, you know, the dissension that you're seeing, you know, on national television on a week-in, week-out basis, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they are able to turn it on, and can he basically carry that team all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, I know Chandler, you know, was just saying the Raptors. I still don't have any faith in the Raptors. I can't put my money on it and put it down with a pen. They're going to win the Eastern Conference because we've seen this from them before, you know, in years past where they've had a great regular season. You know, they'll probably have a really good first round. But once they play, you know, the Clevelands or the Bostons or the really big, you know, the big powerhouses of the world, that's where I think that, you know, they always seem to crumble. And they've done so how many years in a row so far? In terms of our Knicks, I think we pretty much covered everything. And you know, not to sound negative, but, you know, we're in a funk, and the only thing we really have to look forward to is just seeing these young players, you know, get some time, get some burn, and hopefully they can score a couple of, they can play spoiler for a couple of teams and have somewhat of a say in who gets in and who gets out of the Eastern Conference.
Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets. Final thoughts from Marlo. Marlo, go ahead, fire away with your final thoughts. Then we'll go to Chandler, Dre, and then wrap up with Av.
Yeah, guys. Again, the Knicks is Knicks. And again, my final thoughts is the Blee Blue Show again. Thanks again for this platform. And Chandler, I got to shout you out again, man. That was one of the best things I've heard in a while. And, I got to know you on another level. And I was very impressed that you were able to share as much as you did. And it's worth a listen, anybody who's listening to it, listen to Chandler on the spotlight, almost as good as mine. Actually, no, it was better than mine. It was much better than mine because it got real deep. And like I said, when I started off, I had the TV turned down. And eventually, Chandler, after listening to you for a good 10 minutes, I turned the TV off so I could give you like my full attention. That's how much of my attention that you had. It was very impressive. And for Steve and to expand the platform and not rest on his laurels and just keep it to sports and to know something about your fellow guys. Because, we've been talking to each other for years, but what do we really know about each other besides the sports? So I thought that was really a great idea that he has, just to focus on one of us at one at a time. And what can I say? Shout out to Dre and Knickerbocker Av for always being on point, always being at the forefront, the back front of everything that's going on. Steve, again, I can't thank you enough for this platform with the Blee Blue Show. And we'll see what happens. Maybe one day the quality of the Knicks will catch up to the quality of the Blee Blue Show. But when that day will happen, I don't know. We'll probably be all in our 60s or 70s in a nursing home. Maybe that's when it's going to be. I just don't know if this team will ever get their act together. But shout out to everybody on here and on this station. And I do thank you guys for it. And even with the Knicks playing bad, we got some things with the Giants and Yankees coming on. But bleed blue forever.
At Drago NYC, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the great and kind words to all of us here on this platform, including yourself, man. Can't thank you enough, Marlo. We're here religiously, man. Thank you very much. Chandler, your final thoughts as well.
I think the rest of the season is going to be great, and I need to echo what Marlo said. But first of all, I think everybody else's segment was better than mine, personally. The spotlight things are great. I think it's a great thing that you did, that you're doing. And just like Marlo said, getting to know people, getting to understand how they think, their motivation, who they are as people is so cool, because when you get to talk to them here and on different shows, it's not, we can I guess argue or disagree or whatever. And we, it's a family type thing, disagreement versus you just disagreeing with some stranger, you know what I'm saying? And knowing that you can have somebody that you can actually talk to about a team that you really invested in is just a really cool thing that you're doing, man. It allows, at least for me to have the opportunity to feel like I'm connected to other people out there, man. So thank you for doing that. And what all you guys do and just coming on and giving me an opportunity to vent about this franchise that's, given me ulcers since I was 3, 4, 5. I don't know. But it's fun. Appreciate it, and I'm glad we all got a place to come in and talk about this crazy organization that we call the Knicks.
One more time, tell everybody how they can hear your wonderful platform talking veterans benefits.
The Gear Drift podcast I do on Spreaker, just a podcast I do talking about vets issues, veterans benefits, just vet centric, but I try to have something for not just veterans, but the families, the friends, people who know vets may want to interact with them, or just if you don't understand what vets have to deal with and go through, maybe just give a glimpse into our world of just trying to be civilians now. But it's the Gear Drift podcast on Spreaker.
Yes, sir. Night Channel 7, Gear Drift podcast. Thank you very much, sir. Dre, Little Drake to the Rack on Instagram. Your final thoughts as well, and then the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue. And I got one more thing before we go back around, but Drake first.
Well, yeah, like everybody said, this is a really great platform. Everybody, always nice to see, actually hear some actual real Knicks knowledge, not even just Knicks knowledge, just knowledge in general from other people that you wouldn't give at least around from me, at least from my certain places I go to, and actually voice your opinion, even just for like whether it's 30, 20, or even an hour. It's just, it's like one of them little events you always got planned out. Like, oh, like this, the guy's not out. Like, you know, it feels like something like this. Now, Marla, I ain't gonna lie. His podcast is better. But I do got some on Instagram though for everybody with some basketball content. If you just click the link in the bio to YouTube, I'm gonna start a little series on an NBA mock draft for this year's and next year's draft, starting at least Saturday, somewhere at 12 to 2. And always, thanks for having me on the show.
Lil Dre to the Rat, thank you very much. Avenue, your final thoughts, and tell how everybody can find you on social media. And then also tell, you know, you guys got events going around, man. Let everybody know.
Yeah. So, at Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, a special shout out to Jennifer and Jasmine Gordon from Knicks Omni Fan. We had a great viewing party down in Shorty's in downtown Brooklyn behind the Barclays Center. Despite the Knicks losing, we had a lot of great fans show up. You know, great drinks, great laughs, great trivia. I implore you at Knicks Omni Fan. They're on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So give them a follow. Tune in for future events. They do the suite life where, you know, all of us go in a private suite at Madison Square Garden and actually go watch a Knicks all together. And it's a great catered event. So I implore you to follow them. My final thought is, folks, thank God baseball is almost here. spring training is great, and for the first time in a long time, boxing has been great. Anybody who caught that Wilder Cruz fight, I really loved what I saw, from both fighters. It was a great 10 round heavyweight championship fight, and they got to make the Wilder Joseph fight happen sooner rather than later. And as always, Knickerbocker Ave signing out, bleeding blue all day, every day. Sangre Azul.
He makes a great point on the boxing. I made the points about that on the recap earlier this week. Av, boxing has been phenomenal. This whole season, Av, with bouts. This is on the boxing tip, ladies and gentlemen, that it's going to be some good fights in 18, man. I know they pushed the Crawford fight a little bit back, but that should be a decent fight with Horn. But that's just on the boxing tip. Before we go, I'm going to go back down because we all are sports heads. I got to get you guys' predictions. Why wouldn't we be the forum for the fans on the Bleed Blue Show if we didn't get your prediction on who's going to win the men's and the women's national championship in college basketball? Marlo, could we get your prediction from the men's and the women's side? And same for Chandler and Dre and Nav before we sign off.
I have to admit, I haven't been following college basketball, so I'm going to have to excuse myself on this one. But before I go, though, Dre, what is your Twitter, man, so I can follow you?
I lost that for a good minute, but I remember it was something with, I think it was someone beats my heart. I'll make sure I give it to you right before I go to sleep.
All right, man. Thanks, Joe, because I need to follow you, man.
All right. Chandler, what about you, men and women's? I know you're all over the college stuff.
For the men's is Arizona. For the women, I think South Carolina. Yeah, I got Arizona because I'm looking at their bracket, and that kid Ayton is, like I said, I think right now he's better than Embiid was when Embiid was in college. That kid is just awesome. So I like Arizona, and I like South Carolina to repeat. I think they're going to wind up playing UConn, and I think they're going to pay UConn back for that 50-point beating they took early this year. So I got South Carolina back-to-back, and I got Arizona on the men's side. And, you know, I never got to ask you, man, your thoughts on the Wilder thing, because I watched that fight, and I know Wilder won, man, but his style is trash, man. His style is just trash. If he's the best we got in heavyweight, man, we in trouble.
he has a wide open style. I get it. But I'm just looking at it from an entertainment point. As far as technique, and you want to get to the actual that part of boxing, it is a little – it is wide open. But he is undefeated for a reason, and then in crew, he hit him, and he came back. Av saw the fight. We all saw the fight. But I think everybody is really about Joshua getting past Parker at the end of this month, and it's really about those two stop BSing and just get together. That's what it comes down to in the heavyweight division. It's Wilder versus Joshua, if all the stars are aligned. That's what people want to see in the heavyweights. Oh, okay. Then, Av, what about you, men and women?
Women, I'm going to stick to UConn. I think UConn can take it. And I hate to do this, but for the men's, I'm going to stick to Villanova. I think they have it. I think they have enough to. But I like South Carolina. I like the other picks. But if I'm gonna put my money on somebody, I'm gonna put my money on Villanova to return and win the title again.
You know what, man? I had the same too as you did from the men and the women's. I'm just trying to find cases of other teams. I want to trust Virginia, but I just can't pull the trigger. And they play very
That's
well this year.
That's my problem too. That's my problem, too. I can't.
Yeah. I can't. I'm still wrestling with my bracket. I'll finish it up tomorrow. I really want to pull the trigger for Virginia, but just something about them in this type of, you know, the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 that can get clipped off. But I look at the bracket, like, I don't see anybody that can. But as a default, I'm with you, man. I think I have to go with the Wildcats. I don't trust the Xavier. I don't trust none of the two seeds. Or I could see Chandler's point with Arizona, but I think they can get clipped off as well, like any other team. But the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum is great stakeholders, sports fans, sports heads all around. Marlo, at least we have other teams on this platform as well as the world of sports. It's not just limited to the Knicks. So that's the beauty of this platform, man. So if you're a Yankees
Giants,
fan,
there's some interesting
you're a Giants
stuff,
fan,
man.
Rangers, all the teams, really. And then individual sports like boxing, the tennis, and all the other stuff. We here, man. And that's what the beauty of this, man. And then, of course, the stakeholder spotlights that held it down last week. I like the round of applause to the great stakeholders. Round of applause, man. Spotlight.
Who's next? Son, who's next? Because I really want to know who's next.
I don't even know. I'm pretty sure me and Av will be doing a video soon. We're overdue for to get one of those in between shows for the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. So, Av, we already know. We'll get those popping.
Sure.
Every 3 months, this show needs a bye week. We need to recharge and get back into full of things. And that's what this is about. So, we probably have another bye week somewhere in June, July, around, what's it called? July 4th. So, other than that, guys, Sangre Azul will be back next Wednesday on this platform, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.